Sarah from Godell. I'm joined today by John from Purple. John, would you like to do a quick intro?
Yeah, hello, Sarah. My name's John Oliver. I'm product director at Purple. And I guess in a nutshell, that means that I'm responsible for Purple's product roadmap and vision and talking to customers to see what they like, what they don't like, what the market's doing, what we should be doing. All that kind of stuff is what I look after at Purple.
Fabulous. So today we're talking about recruitment during this hybrid working world. So how has recruitment changed for Purple since the pandemic?
Well, it's changed quite a lot, primarily because the pandemic moved us to be a remote first business. So that was something that we didn't do prior to the pandemic. We did let people work from home one day a week, but other than that, everybody was in the office. So as we moved through the pandemic, obviously everybody was home-based. We didn't have a choice in that. And we always thought that coming out of things, we would go back to how it was. And as we discussed this more and more with teams and more with the staff generally, it just transpired that that wasn't really what people wanted. And coupled with that, I think our staff in particular have proved that they can be trusted. You know, they can work in a kind of isolated environment without being supervised in the office. So, yeah, it made sense for us to go remote first. And obviously that's changed the way that we recruit massively, because it now means that we don't have to recruit geographically in the area that our office is in or our overseas offices are in, and we can cast the net a lot further.
Yeah, fabulous. So with that, how is it that you're conducting interviews? Are they taking place over Teams?
So we use Google Meet, but it's the same thing. And yeah, we do the interviews over Google Meet, but what we actually do with our roles is we ask anybody making an application to submit a video interview first. And well, a video interview might not be totally the right term. What we do is we give them a question and we ask them to record a 2-minute video answer to that question.
Yeah.
And then they submit that. And we actually find that's a really good way of just weeding out people that we don't think would be a good fit. Maybe for whatever reason, we don't think it might be a great culture fit because of the way they've answered the question or the way they've come across over video. So that's a really good tool that we use. And then, yeah, generally, it's just a straightforward video interview as you would do face-to-face, similar types of questions, similar type of format. The one thing that I do differently when I'm recruiting in my area of the business, if I'm not the hiring manager, which means if I'm not carrying out the first interview, I'll always make sure that I do a second interview to try and dig a little bit deeper on the culture fit and ask not questions directly related to the role, but more to try and find out about that person, what type of things are they into, what type of things do they enjoy, and basically do I think they'll be a good fit for the team.
Yeah, and do you find that kind of doing things virtually is hard to gauge if they're going to be a good cultural fit?
It's harder, I think. It's definitely harder than face-to-face. But I think with most things, you know, once you've done it a few times, you get used to the kind of video format, talking to people on screen. It's something I'm quite comfortable with now, and I think a lot of people are. But yeah, I think the dynamic is definitely different, and it does raise a few challenges that we wouldn't have had previously.
Yeah, fabulous. So with the knowledge that people will be kind of remote first, or coming in one or 2 days a week, depending on location, did you find that finding talent was easier?
So we did. First of all, it was easier because, as I say, we can cast the net further now. So people don't really have to be within a train journey or a car journey of our office. You know, we've just recruited somebody in the last week who was over near Middlesbrough. We recruited somebody else actually up from that kind of region as well, which would have never have done before. So I guess we can cast the net further. What we also find is that a lot of people are looking for jobs at the minute. As we come out of the pandemic, people seem to be thinking maybe this is a good time for a change. So we find that there's a lot more applicants, but that's also a double-edged sword, because what we find is that there's more competition for those people as well. One other thing, actually, that personally I found is, you know, we've got quite a few roles live at the minute, and we've made offers for various ones, and it's not unusual that an employer will try harder to keep that person, you know, and they'll come back and say, actually, I've been offered a pay rise by my employer, they don't want to lose me, and that's something that we're seeing quite a lot as well at the minute.
Yeah, and that I think that's something that historically it happened, but people didn't accept that counteroffer as much.
Mm.
I think now they are. So has there been any new roles available since the global pandemic or COVID that you're recruiting for example, DevSecOps?
Yeah, well, I mean, across Purple, we've got an awful lot of roles available at the minute anyway. We've just actually closed some funding over the last few months as we come out of the pandemic, which was timed really well. So that's enabled us to kind of spin up a lot of roles, specifically kind of in the product side of the business. As you mentioned, we've got the SecOps role that we're working hard to fill. In my area of the department, specifically, we've got a role for a product content manager, which is quite a new role for us. I've not had that in the department before. And we've actually just brought on board a UI UX lead as well, which is something we've not had before. We've had a UI UX designer in the business and, you know, he's handled everything that gets thrown at him. But we've kind of thought now it's time to give him a bit more help, a bit more support and increase the resource in that team as well.
Yeah. And it's always good to see that, albeit it's not a positive thing that's happened in the world, it's had positive effects on some businesses because it's enabled you to have new roles, new staff, new location kind of stuff, which is always great.
Yeah. And I think, you know, in my mind, I've said this a couple of times, from a business point of view, it's not too dissimilar to a recession in whereby you see that the strong seems to survive, the weak seems to fall by the way. You know, and we've seen that not just with businesses, but also with the talent within businesses as well, I think.
Yeah, definitely. So how's the onboarding process changed at Purple, or has it changed?
It has changed. Well, I guess actually just to back up slightly. So Purple's an international business anyway. So, yeah. You know, we have staff overseas, but the majority of our staff are based in the UK. But because we have our staff overseas, we're not completely unfamiliar with onboarding people remotely. However, I think it's safe to say that the pandemic has probably made us look at that a little bit closer and make sure that we really have that nailed. And, you know, some of the things that we do, we have a buddy system. So anybody that comes on board gets assigned a buddy, and that buddy has a, you know, a set of tasks that they do with that person, whether it's phone calls, check-ins, taking them out if they are local. We have an onboarding board that every line manager gets given when a new starter comes on. And there's all kinds of tasks in there that need to be completed in week one, week two, week three. They get introduced with various people throughout the company over video. So the line manager will schedule those calls in and that person will go onto a call with the person in the meeting and they'll explain, this is my role, this is what I do in the company, this is how I can help work with the role you've just come into. So there's all kinds of things that we try and do just to A, spin that person up as quickly as possible, but B, make them feel part of the team and get involved in as many meetings and see as many faces as they can in the first week.
Yeah. And obviously this may not be as applicable as a question, but do you let them know that all the COVID procedures are there within the offices to diffuse any anxieties about going into the office? Is that something they wanted to do?
Excuse me. Yeah, we definitely do. That's something that, to be honest, our HR department handle, not me.
Yeah.
But they definitely run through all of the things that we've introduced into our UK office, such as the temperature checking as you come into the door, social distancing, the meeting room etiquette, using the toilets one at a time, all those kind of things we run through with people so they're well aware.
Fab. And have you how have you been able to translate the kind of hybrid policy to the new starters who it's maybe their first time in working from home completely?
Yeah, so currently at the minute, this is an idea we've tossed around and gone backwards and forwards on, but currently at the minute, we don't mandate any days in our office. You know, we have thought about, should we say people need to come in one day a week or 2 days a week? But we decided to go completely remote first. But the office is still there. And if people want to go into the office, they're more than welcome to. And the way we approach it really is just to say, look, work with your teams, work with your line manager, and just do what suits you. You know, what we want is for people to be as productive as possible. And if they feel that they can do that at home in their own environment, then great. You know, if they feel that sometimes they need a change of scenery, they want to get out of the house, go into the office, see other people for a day, they can do that. But, you know, we don't kind of dictate you must do this, you must do this. I think for our business and our culture, it just works best for people to find their own way and do what makes them happy.
Yeah, and I know we've spoke about it before, not on this podcast, but about how your business were quite well prepared for this working from home from the first lockdown. So are you able to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, definitely. So pre-COVID, as I say, we're an international business and we have employees abroad in various regions. And we regularly survey our staff to see, you know, what are they thinking? How can we improve? And one of the things we were hearing was that the overseas staff sometimes felt it was difficult for them to communicate in the way that the people in the UK office would do, i.e. they can't just walk over to somebody's desk and ask a quick question. When they do email questions, there's a time zone to consider, and usually they don't get a reply until the next day. So to cut a long story short, what we decided to do was put the entire UK staff working from home for 1 week to try and feel some of the pain that our overseas staff would feel, i.e. of not being in the office. So we did that, and it was fair to say there was some teething problems in terms of systems, communication systems, but we learned an awful lot during that week. And we came out of that as a business that was much better equipped to have people working at home and to have people communicate remotely and still do the job efficiently as well. So once we'd done that, what we also introduced on the back of that was a work from home Wednesday, where all of the UK office would work at home on Wednesdays, and they'd come into the office Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. So yeah, for that reason, we were actually quite well geared up with the whole kind of working remotely thing. Even though we didn't do it permanently, we were actually quite geared up to support it anyway. And it was a really good exercise for us.
Yeah, fab. So with that, how have you found that the team morale has been? So have you had to do any additional team bonding days or anything that you did prior to lockdown, for example, Friday afternoons down the pub? How have you adapted that now?
So if you think before COVID, you know, the culture of our business is really important to us. It's something that we think a lot about, and we think a lot about when bringing new people on as well. And just to digress slightly, we actually set our values as a business. So we flew everybody into the UK. We did an exercise called Mission to Mars, which I don't know if you're familiar with. I could talk about it a bit later if you wanted me to. But we set the values for our business as a group. The idea being that everybody would believe in them. So prior to COVID, we did a lot of things as a team to kind of reinforce those values anyway. We have, you know, weekly all hands with every department. We have daily stand-ups. We do, as you mentioned, on a Friday afternoon, we finish at 4 o'clock and everybody has beers together. So as we went into COVID, what we tried to do was just maintain as much of that as we could, but over video. And obviously the dynamic's never completely the same, but we still did the beer Fridays. So everybody got onto a video call, had a beer at the desk, had a chat. You know, it's not as free flowing as it is when people are just in the office, but it's still good to do. The all hands calls continued as they would do. The daily stand-ups continued as they would do. HR have been really great in purple for thinking of things to get people involved with. We've had mental health sessions over video. We've had gaming sessions. We played Battleship over video a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, just really anything you can think of to get people together and, you know, just do something different from normal day-to-day work, I think is great.
Yeah, because it's hard to, it's that kind of water cooler conversation, isn't it? It's hard to replace that in you've got a 30-minute meeting, you log in, you say hello, talk about the weather for a couple of minutes, and then you're straight into it. So you kind of miss the, what did you do at the weekend? How's the weather?
Yeah. Yeah, well, our chat communication tool in the business is WebEx. And obviously you can chat and call through that. It's pretty standard. But what we encourage people to do is if you need to speak to somebody, just call them via video, you know, the same way that you would do if you just needed to pop to the desk and ask a quick question. Just call them via video, have a 5-minute conversation. WebEx actually introduced, funnily enough, a water cooler feature, where what they do is they pick two people at random in your business, they start a chat between those two people with a pre-formatted question, and then encourage those two people to expand on that question together and have a 5-minute conversation over WebEx on it, which was quite cool. I thought it was a good idea.
That's a really good idea, because I'm guessing there you'd be speaking to people that you probably wouldn't always speak to on a day-to-day basis either.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened. And, you know, the questions are quite quirky, such as, you know, if you could travel back to a certain time period, what would it be and why? And then, you know, you answer that and have a conversation about it. So yeah, it was quite a neat idea, and we used it and got some good results from it.
Yeah, I really like that idea. Okay, so you kind of touched on it briefly. Tell me more about the mission to Mars.
Okay, so the mission to Mars is, I think I'm right in saying it's specifically designed to set company values, but if it isn't, it works well for it anyway. But what you the way we did it was we got the company together, so there's about 110 of us, 120 or whatever it was. And the exercise is to say, okay, well, look, if we wanted to set up a Purple office on Mars tomorrow, which of the people from Purple would we send to that office because they represent Purple really well? You know, so you think, okay, we're going to send maybe six people to our new office on Mars. Which six people would we choose and why? And everybody in the company will pick six people and say why. And you then kind of present these answers onto a board and you begin to get clusters of the same person or the same few people, but for the same reasons. So these people are coming up time and time again because they'll always go above and beyond. You know, these people are coming up time and time again because they're just fun to be around, or because they can be relied upon, or because they've got great knowledge in a particular area. So you begin to see these kind of clusters form of the same things that people within our business obviously think is important. So what you do then is you look at these clusters and you kind of group them together and you go away and build your values based on those clusters. So I can give you our values if you like, if you want me to quickly read through them.
Yeah, definitely be interesting to hear.
Yeah, so the values we came up with as a result of that exercise is the first one's in it together, which is quite self-explanatory. You know, we help and support one another. The second one is know your stuff, keep learning. And this is to try and reinforce that kind of, you know, have a thirst for knowledge and understand what you do and be able, you know, people could come to you with questions about what you do and you can answer them. No drama was another one. So, you know, we know that things go wrong and don't always go the way we want them to, but, you know, getting pissed off and fed up doesn't help anyone. And that's not the way that we want to approach things. Make it happen, excuse me, is another one. So that's just about, you know, doing what you need to do to get something done. No bullshit, no politics, which is probably my personal favorite. You know, it's basically don't, you know, just be straight with people, no backstabbing, no name calling, none of that nonsense. You know, just be straight. Playful and positive, which is probably the cheesiest one we came up with, but we did believe in it and we thought it was worthwhile to keep. So that one stayed in. And then the last one, because Purple's obviously a data business, is with great data comes great responsibility, which is obviously a play on the Spider-Man line, I think it is. But we thought it was a good one for us. So yeah, that's a quick overview of our values and how we kind of came up with them.
Oh, I love it. So the biggest question I can think of, were you on the spaceship to Mars?
Actually, no. No, I didn't make the shortlist. Funnily enough, I don't think any of kind of the exec or senior management in Purple were on the spaceship. It was more of the kind of the frontline people, the doers, the people that kind of talk to customers a lot. They were kind of, you know, everybody thought they were more representative of our business. And that's great. It's really good to see these kind of things develop when you do the exercise.
Yeah, and it's good to see that they're recognised within the wider business too.
Yeah, well, we do a thing every year as well where we have staff awards every year that are voted on by the staff, and, you know, we give them silly names, like one of the awards will be the postman because that person always delivers, or there's the duct tape award because that person can fix anything, you know. So we do stuff like that every year as well, which I think is quite cool.
Oh, fab. Sounds a really fun business to work for. So that kind of leads us on nicely to my final question. How has the pandemic affected retention at Purple?
So I'd be lying if I said it hadn't affected it. And I think this probably comes back to what I said earlier around, as people have kind of come out of COVID and lockdown and, you know, all the things that happened during that time, I think people are just naturally thinking, you know, is it time for a change and should I be having a look out there or what else is happening? So, yeah, we have seen a few people move on. But equally, you know, I've spoken to kind of peers and colleagues in other businesses in the industry. And, you know, I don't think we've been hit as hard as some other companies have, based on what I'm hearing. And I think the main reason for that is because of our culture and because, you know, we do believe so much in our culture and try and make Purple somewhere that people enjoy working. And I think that stood us in good stead.
Yeah. Oh, good. And is there anything that you'd like to add on the end at all?
No, I don't think so. All I'd say is, you know, just probably just to mention again that we are recruiting. We raised some money just as we came out of the pandemic. And if you look at purple.ai and find our careers page on there, there's lots of jobs on there. You know, you may be interested. If you like some of the stuff I've said about the business, you might think it's a cool place to work. So yeah, go and check that out and see what you think.
Yeah, definitely head over to Purple's website, and I'm sure it's under the careers section. But thank you for your time, John. It's been lovely to chat.
Not a problem. Thanks for your time.